Hello, friends! It's your old pal, Aria Helwani, back with another edition of DC and Helwani. And after Saturday night, UFC 261, Jake Paul craziness with DC, all kinds of madness, Nick Diaz emerging from the shadows. We got a lot to discuss. There's a lot going on, as always. But first, do want to remind you, the NFL draft is this week, so make sure you are fully prepared and have all the information you need before Thursday by downloading First Draft, hosted by ESPN draft experts Mel Kiper Jr., Todd McShay, and Field Yates. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Also, don't miss Football Americas, the new soccer debate show where Hercules Gomez and Sebastian Salazar cover the U.S. and Mexican national teams throughout the season. Stream new episodes every Monday and Thursday only on ESPN Plus, and you can sign up now over on ESPNplus.com. All right, on to today's show. As always, listener discretion is advised. Enjoy.
Now making their way to the microphone, DC and Helwani.
I finally can sort of understand why people enjoy riding bikes. I can't do it. My 8-year-old, my 7-year-old, my 4-year-old can ride a bike.
So who teaches them?
Here's Daniel Cormier and Ariel Helwani.
Back in your life on this fourth week of April 2021. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new edition of DC and Helwani. That over there is a struggling Daniel Cormier. I'm Helwani, Ariel Helwani. The action was so hot in Jacksonville that you're still cooling off. What's going on over there?
It's not that. I had some, my breakfast of noodles was just a little too spicy.
Who has noodles for breakfast? And especially
ramen noodles, they don't need them as your breakfast. Yeah, I love them.
How spicy were they?
Oh, man, 3 times the spice. Too much. It's like Ariel. It's not the spice from the Helwani household where you and Jacqueline and a couple drops of that Poirier's hot sauce.
Jacqueline coming after you with all the smack talk. Not the
Jacqueline
only one
came after me last weekend.
Yep, she
did. Very surprised to see her on the phone. She's got me. She's like, you guys have been quarantined for so long that you're both pretty brave. She used to talk her trash from behind the screen. Now she's showing her face.
Well, a questionable decision at best to have ramen noodles in the morning, to have spicy, extra spicy ramen noodles a minute before we're about to go in the air. I mean, golly.
I tend to make bad decisions at times.
Well, here we are.
Part of my intrigue.
So much to discuss. Hopefully it will cool down. The action in Jacksonville was extra spicy as well, DC. How about that? What a night it was. We have so much to discuss. Of course, 3 title fights. 3 fantastic performances by 2 defending champions and by 1 new champion, Rose Namajunas. Some wacky, scary, gut-wrenching stuff earlier on in the card. The crowd was in full force. There were a bunch of celebrities in attendance. There was one guy that I think you exchanged a few words with in attendance. We will get to that, I promise you. I don't know if I've had so many people reach out to me saying, I haven't looked forward to this show so much as I do this one this week.
The highlight of my night?
Yeah.
Cuba Gooding Jr. Cuba Gooding Jr. was out in full force the other day, man. Cuba Gooding Jr. was dancing. He was going crazy. I saw one of those guys. I can't remember the guy's name on his Instagram. He goes, Cuba Gooding Jr. out here. You know, he was dancing, acting crazy. I couldn't believe it.
Wearing overalls, too. Crazy. Are overalls making a comeback? What's going on?
Dude had on Carhartt overalls, long little goatee. It was straight down here. Hair in a mohawk, dancing, going crazy the whole time. Cuba Gooding Jr. is out of his mind, man. I watched him the entire time. He lost his mind.
On the Richter scale, where would you put UFC 261 in terms of the energy, in terms of the vibe, the fans, all that? Where would you put it?
Ariel, you were a very sweet boy growing up in Canada, so you probably never got sent to timeout. Like you were a good kid. You know, you're baking cookies with mom. You're helping to wash the dishes. You do nothing wrong. You're a good kid. Me, on the other hand, I was doing bad things down in Louisiana, so I spent the vast majority of my youth in timeout. When I would get out, though, I would take my behavior to the next level. That's what happened last weekend in Jacksonville. It felt like everybody had been let out of timeout. Ariel, you've covered enough fights to know that when we show up for the prelims, no one's there except for the fighters' families. 1,000, 2,000 people spread out throughout the arena. There were 5,000 people for fight number 1 on Saturday night. It was fantastic, man. The energy, the vibe. When you walked out of the tunnel to go to your seat and you start hearing everybody going crazy again, it was like, man, you really did miss that.
I was hoping that you would play along with my Richter scale analogy because, of course, and I'm assuming you knew this, today is National Richter Scale Day. So I was hoping you would play along with that one.
No idea what that is.
You don't know what the Richter scale is? Look it up. You know, like when there's an earthquake, I guess there's a number on the Richter scale. Earthquake back in the day, John Tenta, remember him? He used to sit on people.
I know that earthquake.
Yeah,
the natural disaster. That's him and Typhoon. Right. Yeah, I know that earthquake. Don't go crazy here.
I know you're a pet guy. You got your birds that you love so dearly. Do you know their names yet?
No, still don't. There's only one again.
Oh, okay. What happened?
Kiki's bird has went on the murdering spree again. Oh, Kiki's bird takes no prisoners. Every time we stick a new one in there, there end up being one. So Big Papa, that's what she was calling them last time. Big Papa. Big Papa don't want no guests. Big Papa don't want no guests up in his cage.
Well, that is appropriate because today is National Kids and Pets Day. So to both Kiki and her Big Papa bird, I wish them that. Yeah, you didn't eat a pretzel on Saturday. You got a hot dog. The storyline has actually, you know, peaked with you and the hot dog. But today is National Pretzel Day, so it would have been
appropriate. I had a pretzel, too.
Oh, you did?
I had a pretzel, too, but the pretzel didn't, you know, the pretzel wasn't part of the story last year. But
right.
My goodness, did you see my hot dog?
It was juicy.
I mean, when I looked down at that hot dog looked like they had stabbed it. Look like they had stepped on it. Is it? Oh, this is the one going to DC. He's been wanting this for a year. Let's give him the worst last hot dog that's been spinning for the last 10 hours.
What was the guy there?
I didn't really walk over there.
Okay.
A little bit afraid to go all into the crowd. I didn't get to go back to the concession, but somebody went and got it for me.
Crazy enough, today's National South Dakota Day, considering what happened to you last weekend. Kind of weird. And also, finally, I'd be remiss if I don't mention today's National Help a Horse Day, DC. So if you see a horse in need in Gilroy, please do your part and help said horse. All right, let's get to the fights. And hey, how about this horse? How about the thoroughbred that is Kamaruddin Usman? I mean, holy smokes, 14 straight. 14 straight now in the UFC, 19 overall. He disposes of his rival, Jorge Masvidal, with a second round TKO, a right hand cocked all the way back from Nigeria to Jacksonville. The shots of the sweat flying off Jorge Masvidal's, you know, forehead, incredible. And so important to note, that was Jorge Masvidal's 50th pro fight. Going into that fight, he had only been TKO'd once in his career. That was back in 2008. Last time he was finished, submission, 2009, Toby Amada fight. I mean, what Kamaru did on Saturday, nothing short of amazing. I'm assuming you are very impressed with this man. And I just want to know, did you see this coming? Like, he has now evolved into a complete MMA fighter. And especially in the last 2 years, I think he's in the discussion. Pound for pound best. He really is.
I think, honestly, with Habib being gone and Jones's lack of activity, I think Usman is the number one pound for pound fighter in the world. I think when these updates come out tomorrow, we should see Kamaru Usman is number one. He's number two now. But I believe that what he is doing is so impressive. And now the activity, right? Because July to April, we've seen him defend that belt three times.
Yeah.
He's not sitting on the sidelines waiting. He could have done the show, waited until August, but he's back again. And since December of 2019, dude has fought and defended that belt four times. That is so impressive. And his ability to deal with these guys in the way that he does, it really is next level because he's fighting the absolute best of the best. That's what happens whenever you become the champion. You get the most scary, dangerous guy every single time. He's not only beating these guys, he's disposing of them in a way that it leaves no question. So, fantastic performance by the champ. I love that you, me, everybody in the world now called him Kamaruddin Usman because this man, as Rashad Evans said so beautifully last week, has grown into his name. You know, the champion of the world, proud African heritage that he proudly displays. He goes out there and he dominates in a way that is a sight to behold. I cannot believe that he is doing it in the way that he's doing it. Yeah, nobody would have thought he would have knocked Masvidal out in the way that he did. And also, I was about to say something else. I'm sorry.
I don't know what happened there. What happened?
I was like, I short-circuited. I was like,
are you done or not?
One of those spice peppers went into my throat as I was finishing my thought. And by the way, why were you letting me call Masvidal George for a whole show last week without saying Daniel? His name's Jorge.
Some people. Why did someone call you out on that?
Everybody, you let me call this man George for 2 weeks when his name's Jorge.
So here's the thing. It's a weird thing because I've always called him Jorge. His management team, his very good friends call him Georgie, believe it or not. I know some people close to him actually call him George as well. So I've asked him, what do you prefer? Good, so it's not bad.
Okay,
it's not bad.
Thank you. Because I was like, man, I'm disrespectful. But then when I saw him, he didn't even bring it up. So it's
he didn't have any issues with it. No.
A lot of people were like, dude, that's not his name.
No, whenever like Abe or Malky or his coaches talk to me about him, they always say Georgie. So I just thought you were on the inside. I thought you were part of that inner circle.
I didn't know. Anyways, Usman is the man. And you know how you know he's the man now? I was watching First Take this morning. Mm. They started with the Nets and the Knicks. Second topic, Kamaru Usman. That is a big deal. Normally, the fighting stuff is at the end of the show. It was right at the top of the hour.
So they were talking about all the winners who are on long winning streaks.
Bro,
Usman, Knicks.
You're not gonna give me to buy into this whole Knicks thing. Let's get back to Usman.
You know, I don't vote on the UFC Fugazi rankings, but I do vote on the ESPN.com rankings, and we do pound for pound. And I will put Usman as number one because of the activity, because of how dominant he's been, because of the fact that he's now won 14 straight in the UFC. The record, by the way, is 16 in a row by the great Anderson Silva. He is very close, amazingly, of beating that record. He has now tied Pat Miletich for most wins in welterweight title fights, 5. The only ones who are ahead of him are Matt Hughes and George St. Pierre. That's it. You're talking about rarefied air. And so let me ask you this. Is it unfair to Henry Hooft and the Sanford MMA team to say he has become a much better fighter and, more importantly, a much better striker since teaming up with the great Trevor Whitman in Colorado? Was this always a part of the – like, was this coming regardless? Or when you watch him now, the version that we've now seen 3 times, right, because he's been with Whitman for July against Masvidal, Burns, and now this fight, do you feel he is a better, different, more improved striker as a result of that pairing?
I do, but
why?
There's no knock on Henry Hooft in his style of coaching.
No. That's what I'm trying to do. Right.
But I think at times you find a coach and an athlete pairing that just matches up well. And I believe that for Usman, you saw it in the Woodley fight. At times he would kind of start to wing punches. I feel like Whitman has allowed for him to slow everything down. Because that's Trevor, right? Trevor's that guy, right? Trevor's like, slow. Fight behind the jab, you're the best in the world. Fight behind the jab, you're the best in the world. And now you see Usman doing that. When Usman would wing punches, and I said this on the broadcast Saturday, when he starts trying to just load up and knock you out, he misses and he misses big. And he looks like he doesn't know how to strike. But when he slows everything down, right, and he puts that jab on you, whether it's from the conventional or the southpaw side, he throws it straight. He's very accurate. And he can really process things better. So even when he was popping Masvidal with the jab and the lead right hand, he landed quite a few lead right hands where he's just there and he's just snapping out the right hand as if it's a jab. He was popping the head back on Masvidal, but then he was jab. Then he threw the slap left hook. When he threw the slap left hook, you got to like, when anytime a punch is coming at you, you got to see those punches. Everybody always talks about not seeing the punches. The punches you don't see are the ones that knock you out. Teddy Atlas said this beautifully the other day. Teddy said, he shifted the eyes of Masvidal with the left hand. He shifted the eyes of Masvidal. So when he threw the left hook, Masvidal has to see the left hook, right? So the hand goes up, the right hand goes up to block the left hook. When he sees the left hook, he did not see the right hand coming down the middle. That put him out. And only a mind like Atlas can see that, right? Because he understands striking and boxing at a different level. So for Usman, blind him with the jab. Then you change the pattern. Instead of it coming straight at the face, you throw it around the side. And when you threw it around the side, Masvidal go, you know, defend the hook. Boom, right hand stunned him. Chin to his shoulder. Bro, it was, and I just truly believe he has slowed down under Trevor Whitman. So, no, I don't think that he would still be the champion today if he was with Sanford MMA. I don't believe for a second anyone would have taken that belt off of him. But I believe that the guy that we're seeing now, I don't know if anybody can beat him.
Listen, go back to the first Colby fight, and of course we'll get to Colby in a second. This isn't the same striker. No. I was not impressed with the striking in that fight. He was getting hit a lot. It was not as smooth. It was not as fluid as it is today. So there are improvements. And by the way, shout out to Trevor Whitman. Of course, we will get to him too. But like, bro, what a night, man, between Rose and Kamaru. What a night for that man.
But even that, right? Like from last year, we went to Jacksonville, Justin Gaethje doing what he did to Tony Ferguson.
He was my coach of the year 2020.
Yeah, to get the – I mean, think about that, though. He's a coach of the year in 2020. Hmm. So imagine, he might be coach of the year again because now Rose has got her belt back. Usman defended his belt, and Gaethje is still in the mix. It's like he's got a small team of people, but boy, are they good.
Let me ask you about Masvidal. Was he not serious enough? Did he not respect Usman's power enough? There were moments there where he was kind of, and you know, people do that. They get tagged. They smile. Usually when they smile, that means they got hurt, right?
Yeah,
that's usually the thing. But it felt like his guard was down. Like, did he not respect Usman's power enough because of how the first fight went, in your opinion?
Well, he said it. He said as much, right? I've never been in there with anyone that hits less so soft. He said it himself. There is no question as to whether or not he respected the power of Usman. He told you that he didn't necessarily respect the power of Usman. I think that for Jorge Masvidal, he should have changed his mind after the very first right hand in round one. Because Usman hit him with a nasty right hand right at the early parts of the fight. And Masvidal smiled at him. Like, if that right hand didn't put you on notice, nothing will. Because even if it didn't floor you, you know that he has that ability to get to your chin. And if he has that ability to get to your chin with his right hand like that, you take too many of them, you're going down. It's simple. You cannot let a guy that's as big and strong as Kamaru Usman tee off on you like that. Crazy, man. That was a mistake made by a guy that has 50 professional fights. You know, but Jorge Masvidal is the American dream, right? This is a guy that built some momentum and put himself into two UFC championship fights. He should not hang his head on anything. Nobody would have ever thought he would even be there. A guy that has lost that many fights, those guys don't fight for championships. Those guys are the ones that you usually see at the top of the pay-per-view, because they are exciting fights. They're going to win or they're going to lose. But Gamebred gained so much momentum in that year that he was fighter of the year. He got put on a video game. He fought for the UFC championship twice. He shouldn't hang his head. But the reality is, and I hope this doesn't come off as disrespectful in any way, and Usman said it, there's elite and then there's very, very good. And I just feel like maybe Gamebred was a little bit of a level beneath Usman, and it showed on Saturday. But truly inspiring to see what he's done, to beat the guys in the way that he did, take everything together, his personality, his ability to fight, his willingness to fight, and make everybody forget everything else, right? Going into that fight on Saturday, Rogan talked about it, how good he did in round number one in the first fight. Fans around the world, people bet him to beat one of the greatest welterweights of all time. This is a man that going into the fight had 14 losses. But he had done such a good job of promoting himself and fighting in the way that he fought that people were picking him to beat one of the greatest welterweights of all time. So he should be credited. But as Usman said, there are levels. And Kamaru Usman is the absolute elite of mixed martial arts, and I just don't know if Jorge was that.
Yeah, Jorge has nothing to worry about. He will still be a draw. We have plenty of greats in the sport. Randy Couture, Nathan Diaz, BJ Penn before his recent stretch, who had double-digit losses and were still beloved and will still forever be beloved. So
yeah,
there are plenty of fights for Masvidal if he wants to continue. He's got this new bare-knuckle MMA promotion starting in June. Life is good for this man. He has made a boatload of money over the last couple of years. So I don't think this hurts his stock. But yes, you're right. There is an elite category in this sport in every weight class, and Usman's in that category. And so now the question is, can Colby beat him? Colby says the first fight was going his way and he was robbed. That's a different Kamaru Usman, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's a different. Now, I think Colby is number two at welterweight right now.
Colby's and, elite.
Yes. And they are rewarding him for sitting, which I don't love. And by the way, I feel for Leon Edwards. Poor Leon is going to have to win again.
Here's the problem, though, man. Here's the problem. Nate Diaz is such a big name.
Yeah.
That if Leon Edwards goes out there and does, if Leon Edwards can replicate what Jorge Masvidal did against Nate Diaz, I'm telling you, internally, they will start looking at that fight with Usman.
It is imperative that Colby Covington gets a fight done, signed, sealed, and delivered before May 15th, because you're 100% right. Before Leon,
he needs to
get this signed before May 15th, because I agree with you. And I think there's a part of Usman, believe it or not, that would like to give it to Leon.
Well, listen, it's no secret. Colby Covington is the toughest fight in that division.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what you say about Colby Covington.
100%.
Colby Covington's a dog.
For
Colby
Usman
Covington trains hard. He fights hard. He's always in great shape. And he's a full-on competitor. He's always going to bring it. He'll be the toughest guy. Leon Edwards did a good job against Usman last time. And his striking is going to be a problem in the future. But this new Kamaru might maybe able to strike with the dude. But for Colby Covington, dude's got to get this thing in writing. Maybe not Usman's side needs to be signed, but he has got to get his contract signed before we get to May. Because if Leon Edwards goes out there and he batters Nate Diaz, they'll start to think about it.
And DC, God forbid, Stockton's own Nathan Diaz pulls
Nate
off.
Nate wins. Nate's getting a title fight. Yeah. Let me tell you this. Nate, listen.
That's the worst thing to happen to Colby, right?
Nate wins. I can tell you this. I said that if Leon Edwards can beat Nate Diaz, like Masvidal did, they'll start to think about it. Nathan Diaz wins this fight. There's no question. Colby gets bumped. I am certain Diaz will then fight Usman for the title because guess what? If Usman's smart, Diaz wins, he starts to call Diaz out just like he did with Masvidal.
100%.
This is the fight I want. Absolutely.
He picked Masvidal because he knew that that was the fight that would generate the most. He'd make the most amount of money off that fight. And his team is already kind of planting the seed that if Diaz wins, they'll go after that fight. And by the way, not for nothing, Nathan Diaz will be on a one-fight winning streak at that point.
Doesn't matter.
Colby Covington is also on a one-fight winning streak. It's not like about, you know what I mean? I know they're it sounds even. Crazy, but hey, in this game where the champion can kind of call his shots, I wouldn't be shocked if Nathan wins that he gets the title shot. Wouldn't be shocked.
Absolutely. Because guess what? Masvidal went to the title fight last week off of a loss to Usman, right? So it's like, we've seen that before. So when guys win a fight, why not? Especially when you're Nathan Diaz, you know, the
crazy
start.
Things have happened where they call audibles. I mean, we thought we were getting Diaz Masvidal too.
Colby Covington needs to get his contract into the UFC right now.
Well, they have to give him the contract first.
Guys, I would be on the phone. I'd be hitting the line right now. Dana, Hunter, Sean Shelby, send me my bout agreement. It does not need a pay-per-view date. Just give me an idea of when I'm going to fight. Send me a date. Let me put pen to paper so that if they do decide to audible, at least you got it on paper. Like, hey, I was in. Mm-hmm. There was no issue. I was in. So, but that dude, it's a risky game. The game that he's in right now is risky because Kamaru Usman has earned the right to say, I think this dude should get a title fight because they're all pretty much sitting around the same. Only one that stands out above them all is Leon Edwards, which is crazy, right? Because Leon Edwards has won so many fights in a row. Everybody else has won one if Diaz wins. Leon Edwards has a resume that deserves a title fight. He doesn't have the following of the other two.
Usman's on fire. Not quite in GSP territory,
bro.
Conversation. Not quite, but we're getting close. We're getting close. He's not quite there.
Bro,
he dresses phenomenally well.
Dude,
not
I'm
quite
trying
there.
Tell you.
Not quite.
I'm tell you. George said it to us the other day on our weigh-in show.
Not
he goes,
quite.
Older athletes, we hate to admit it, but as time goes, so do the athletes and the technical skills. He goes, so I believe welterweight today is even better than I was fighting. This is George's words.
Yeah, I'm just saying, not quite from a resume standpoint. But hey, we got a little HBK Diesel thing going with Usman and Francis Ngannou there. It's a nice little Mama Africa team that they got.
You saw
going
Francis
on
dancing on the way out of the curtain.
Great.
I'm like, oh my goodness. I thought Usman's brother was the biggest hype man you could ever find. I was like, wait a minute, is that Francis dancing? I said, in the back, I said, Francis, you were dancing. He goes, brother, I can dance, Daniel. What are you talking about? And now Francis is high rising, jet flying out to Cameroon. Francis right now left Jacksonville to Paris, Paris to Cameroon on a private jet. Talk about the heavyweight champion of the world is living life now to the fullest.
Good for him. So congrats. Now let's talk about the co-main event. I said it last week. That's right. I said it last week. When she is on, there is no fighter that I enjoy watching more. And we didn't get a lot. We didn't get a lot of it. I mean, the fight was 118. But DC, Rose Namajunas against the buzzsaw that is Zhang Weili. Splits the guard right here. I don't think that was talked about enough. It was
the middle. Yep.
Yes.
To go around the guard.
How is that? I mean, holy smokes, it drops her and finishes her. She is unbelievable. And then the emotion and the story that she was going to retire 2 years ago after getting slammed on her head. I mean, beautiful stuff. A week ago, you know, everyone came after and trying to vilify her. This week, she gets her flowers. Rose Namajunas is the strawweight queen. And what a moment. And what a finish. Do you see how hard is that to split the guard like that?
First woman to ever lose a title and then recapture a title.
Same weight class.
Same weight class. I don't think it's ever been done.
Nobody's it's ever been done. Never been done.
No woman's ever done that. But like, look, Rose is bouncing, right? And that's what she did against Andrade in the first round. So when she's bouncing and moving her feet, you can't really get a beat on her. So as Zhang Weili is like watching Rose pop soft jabs, Rose is doing this like little action where she's going back and forth, side to side. So this back and forth action looks the same on the jab as it does on that high kick. So when she takes that, when she steps forward, left leg forward, right leg back, and she throws the jab, it comes out like that. When she does that same step, but then throws the kick, it still looks like jab. Hmm. So when she did that step, she could have threw inside leg kick. She could have threw body kick off the front side, or she could have thrown the jab. So when she did that step, Zhang Weili took a back step because she thought low leg kick was coming. Rose brought that right up, smacks her right up under the chin. It was nasty because Zhang's like this, right? So Zhang's like this. The kick comes. Normally when they kick you here, you just kind of block it as it hits your forearm. This kick came from up under the guard, landed right here on the neck. Everybody talks about head kicks. And even when I got kicked in the head by Jones, he kicked me on the side of the head, so it knocked my equilibrium all crazy. But if you get him in the neck, it's good night, Irene. Zhang went down. Rose jumped on her. Crazy. Because going into Brazil when she fought Jessica Andrade, the whole story was she wasn't able to handle the pressure of being a champion. She hated everything about it. The media, the busy schedule. And it was like a weight off of her shoulders. When I was on the flight back from Brazil with Rose and Pat, she didn't even seem upset.
Yeah, she was happy. She was relieved.
Like, she was relieved.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, this girl is like handling this better than anybody I've ever met in my life. But then that being away from it, right, and working her way back towards it, she gained an appreciation for what that championship means. And I think her crying showed you that she now realizes that it's all she wants in this world to be the world champ.
Both the UFC and Rose didn't do a good enough job. And they're both to blame for this because she shunned it. And I think they were a little late to the party of promoting her the right way when she was champion. Rose can be a mainstream superstar. People love Rose. Talk about my wife. Like, my wife loves Rose. People see themselves in Rose because she puts her heart on her sleeve, because she talks about her emotion, mental health, because she plays piano like a freaking, you know, like someone who's in the freaking like Philharmonic. Like, she is an unbelievable talent and she has a great story to tell. She's got a great vibe to her. She could be a generational talent. She could be someone that breaks through the mainstream if they promote her the right way. And so it's a great story. So happy for her. So happy that she was able to do it like that. I don't, you know, I saw what John, what's that?
Hey,
I thought you were just texting while I was talking.
And Lil Weezy. I'm about to do an effing song named Thug Rose.
Oh, the nickname is perfect. Yeah, the nickname is perfect. Everything is, yeah.
Everyone loves Rose Namajunas.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Rose Namajunas, bro. And, hey, she's a beautiful girl. She's very pretty, right? She's got the short hair. She cut it all off, right? She cut it all off. She still is a beautiful woman that can just fight. You know, you look at Zhang Weili, and she's strong and she's big and she's muscular. But Rose seems so like tall and sleek, and she's a, you know, pretty girl. But then she knocks people out in a way that
she got power.
I said this Saturday, I was like, when Rose Namajunas wins championships, she doesn't just win championships, she makes memories that'll last forever. Because you remember when she knocked out Joanna and we're yelling, Thug Rose, Thug Rose, Thug Rose. And then now this one, we're all like grabbing onto each other, like, oh my goodness. Like,
Rogan's eyes were about to pop out of his head.
Pop out of his head. And then Joe's in there crying. Joe's like, I'm so happy for you. Because like, Thug is like, that's the thing, bro. Rose Namajunas brings out emotion in people. Yes. That you don't even realize that you have for her. It's like, we're all grabbing each other. Like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You know, Weili had 121 fights in a row.
Yeah. You know why? I think a lot of us see ourselves in Rose because she does look somewhat, you know, ordinary in the sense that she doesn't have the biggest muscles because she talks about her struggles. She's not superhuman,
that's
right?
What it is. All of her like insecurities, all of her emotional issues, everything, right? She just kind of lays and bears it all out there for you. So it's like, oh, I deal with a lot of this too. Like, I'm insecure in this way. I don't deal well in this way. And Rose just kind of tells you. So you can relate to her. And because you can relate to her, it's like you root for her. And then when she goes in there and she's like stone faced, I'm the best.
Oh my God.
I'm the best. I'm the best. Hey, bro, like, see, and Barry's in her face. Who's the best? And she, I'm the best. Yeah. I'm the best. Dude, hey. She is in front of Joanna, your J-check. Joanna's like, I am going to kill you. It's over. Rose is saying the Lord's Prayer.
The Lord, that was some of the craziest
Rose
stuff
Rose is
ever
saying the Lord's Prayer while Joanna's telling her she's going to kill her.
That's like some exorcist type stuff.
Our Father. Like, that is Rose Namajunas, bro. Like, she just like, she seems like an assassin, but she is so like vulnerable and people are drawn to that.
I feel for Zhang because, like you said, amazing winning streak, undefeated in the UFC. I think the fight ended so definitively and quickly that she will not get an immediate rematch. I like the idea of the Rose Redemption Tour. If Carla Esparza beats Yan Xiaonan in May, I love the idea of rematching them because remember, Carla beat Rose finale in their first official UFC fight. But I don't know if you can. I know Zhang is kind of campaigning, and I don't think she's that far away, like one away. I mean, heck, you could even do Joanna versus Zhang. You know, right off the bat, now that she's no longer their champion, because the first fight was so good. But I don't know if you could do it right away, right?
I think I don't have a problem with him fighting again because it happened so fast, right? Zhang Weili could just, you know, she can say she got caught, right? Mm-hmm. She beat everybody. But what we forget, Zhang Weili's only been here for about 3 years. Yeah. Not even yet. I mean, she's 3 years in August. She's only been in the UFC for 2.5 years. She has already won the belt and defended the belt. So when you talk about a dominant force in that weight class, it's Zhang Weili. I don't hate her getting a title fight right away, but I can understand if that's not something they want to visit right away. But you start to get – it gets dangerous, right, if you get Carla Esparza and Rose. I understand what you said, because what if Tatiana comes back? And then you got Zhang Weili here.
She's still got a ways.
Like, I don't understand what's going on with Suarez.
She re-injured. I talked to her recently. She suffered a new injury on her hand. She's got shoulder stuff, neck stuff. She was hoping by this summer. It's gone delayed. It's just a string of bad luck for her.
The wrestling. The lifetime of wrestling has kind of worn on her body a little bit. Yeah, man, it's a good weight class. It is the best. It's the most fun female weight class we have in the UFC. The deepest weight class we have in the UFC. And
agreed.
I'm happy that Rose Namajunas, Zhang Weili was mad, but she shouldn't have been. She got knocked out, bro. She was hurt bad. And she was staggering all over the octagon when she got up, and they couldn't have let her continue. So if she gets a rematch, I don't hate it. But even if not, she's only one away, like you said.
So that was a beautiful moment in the co-main event. And then in the tri-main event, if that's even a word, you had a holy bleep moment. Like, wow. My favorite part of Valentina Shevchenko's win over Jessica Andrade wasn't necessarily the 7 takedowns, which was a career high for her in a UFC fight. Prior to that, 5 takedowns. Wasn't the dominance. It was the look on her face right after the fight was called off. And she looked around at everyone. She's like, this is the person that you guys thought was going to give me my toughest test at 125. Like, holy smokes. She was like a cyborg out there. It was unbelievable to see her just go in there with a point to prove. Someone who has nothing to prove to anyone. Point to prove. I'm going to smoke this woman that you all said for the past week or so was going to give me my toughest test.
she is a stone cold assassin. There are moments in the fight, right, that you understand that, wow, we're dealing with a different level. Let me tell you the one for me. It was after the fight, because I spoke to her at the fighter meetings, and she said, I tripped against Jennifer Maya. Yes, she was heavy, and I wasn't able to get up. But that's the area that they think that I'm going to struggle in. Okay, I'll show you even better. And then after the fight, all of you that are looking for weaknesses, there aren't any. That was the one that I like. I was like, whoa. When she said, for all of you looking for weaknesses, there aren't any weaknesses. Now what you going to do? Bro, Valentina Shevchenko is ridiculous.
She's so nice. She's such a nice person, but I like it when she gets a little cocky. I think it's great because she deserves to be cocky. Like, she could talk some smack, and her actions back it up. Like, we all went gaga over Jennifer Maya winning one round and not really doing much in that round, to be honest, but it was her round. Let's give her credit. And she goes in there against Andrade and just, I mean, and this is no scrub. Like, she, you know, let's be honest. You talked about 115 being deep. The gap between her and the rest of the weight class is greater than any champion and any group of challengers in any weight class in the sport, regardless of promotion, really.
Outside of Amanda Nunes at 145.
Well, that's not even a real weight class.
I'm just saying, it's not a real weight class, right? Like,
by the way, even Amanda Nunes was fighting Chris Cyborg at 145, right?
At the beginning. I'm talking about right now. Today. Right now.
Yeah, there's no one there. There's literally no. It's me and you there. It's like, fair enough.
Okay, so if there's nobody there, then who else there to challenge Amanda? You know,
then let me ask you this: if Amanda wins, if Amanda beats Juliana Pena, Dana doesn't want to do it. He said it at the.
I don't understand why he doesn't.
Think she's too small at 135.
She is, but even if she's small, she's taken three rounds off of Amanda in they fought eight. She's taken three. It's 5-3, Amanda. Amanda won the first two of the first fight. Valentina won the third. Amanda won three in the second fight. Valentina won two. And some people think Valentina won the fight. So it could be flipped the opposite way. And we're 4-4. It's as competitive a fight as they can be. I'd love to see them fight again because I think it's those two and everybody else.
Yeah. I think if they both fight one more fight, Amanda gets rid of Juliana Pena. I mean, there's really nothing going on at 135. If Valentina fights one more fight at 125 and you have a Lauren Murphy, Joanne Caldwell.
You guys got to stop with that, man. Like, I mean, listen.
Lauren Murphy's what?
Lauren. I think Lauren Murphy, I think she's a nice lady.
I know.
I think Lauren's a good fighter. But come on, man.
I know.
Like, come on, man. Like, that's crazy, dog. If you think, so you're telling me, all right, man, this is bad because I'm going to end up disrespecting Lauren Murphy. And maybe Lauren Murphy's going to go out there and surprise us all because we've seen it before. But, man,
I know.
Come on, Harry.
It's a tough one.
I mean, it's a tough one because it's a tough one, man, because that's bad, man.
You say do it now. Do it next.
I say after
Juliana. If let's not disrespect Juliana Pena. Yeah,
if she beats Juliana,
do it right away.
Come on, man.
January 2022.
I watched Lauren do a good job on Fight Island to win that fight. She's so tough and she's so durable. But Valentina is so dynamic and so, man, she's so strong and big for that weight class. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. She's so big, bro, that they can't really deal with her strength. In great shape. She's an absolute killer. Like, Ariel, come on, man. That's tough for Lauren.
I think you can make an argument right now that it's 1A, 1B in terms of greatest of all time and skill. Why you can't make that argument for female fighting, for women's MMA, why you can't make that argument is Valentina, unfortunately, is only as good as the people she's beating in the sense that Amanda has gone through Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, Holly Holm, Chris. She doesn't have those fights because 125 is so bare right now.
Can I ask you a question?
But when it's done, I think she'll be in that conversation. Yes, go ahead. Can I
ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think, and no, again, no disrespect.
Yeah.
It would be no different. I think Valentina beats all those people. Maybe Cyborg is just too big for her. But everybody else, I think Valentina beats them all.
DC.
Every one of them.
They fight this summer. I think I'm picking Valentina. How about that?
Well, I mean, after
Valentina, Amanda, if they fight, I think I'm picking Valentina.
After the last fight, look at how close it was.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
And this is listen, I got to always like say that.
Why you guys say that all the time?
Skill for skill. Mm-hmm. Skill for skill. Valentina's better.
Mm-hmm.
Skill for skill.
Crazy.
Valentin is better.
How do you not make that fight? It's such a big fight.
I'm saying, listen, skill for skill, in terms of clean striking, in terms of the wrestling, I think Valentina is a little better. I think Amanda is a little bigger. Amanda's more powerful. She hits harder. Amanda can finish you like with her hand, just knock you out. But I think Valentina Shevchenko, skill for skill. But we know when they fight, Amanda wins the fight. So whatever advantages she has, she's better at taking and winning them and fighting in those places.
All right, let's take a quick pause in the action. I do not disagree with what you just said. And DC, let's welcome back an old friend to the show.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Saturday night was great. I loved it. I loved the three title fights. I mean, it was reminiscent of 217 where we had the three finishes in the three title fights. Although that night we had three challengers win the belt. So this was a little different. But I have to admit, I was in a fog for those entire fights. I was in a fog. I went to bed depressed. I went to bed sad because of what happened to Chris Weidman. And now the last time we saw that in the UFC, it was Anderson Silva. And we've seen this before. We saw Corey Hill, may he rest in peace. It happened to him. He was the first one. We also saw Tyron Spong, by the way, in Glory, happened to him. The difference between Anderson Silva in this situation and the coincidence of it happening to Chris after it happened to Anderson against Chris in 2013 at 168 is mind-blowing. But the difference was that ended the show, right? We all like kind of went to bed that night thinking about here we had to like almost like dust it off and keep going and celebrate while this man is freaking on the way to the hospital in the worst kind of pain. I was there at 168 in the back working for Fox. I have never, ever, ever heard a man yell the way I heard Anderson Silva. I was in the back, so they were carting him out into the ambulance. I will never forget that shriek. And I saw Chris, who is such a good guy, who I think everyone likes and respect, go through that literally seconds into the fight. It was very, very hard to watch. What was it like being there in person? Because it was a nightmare. It truly was a nightmare to watch that. Gut-wrenching.
I heard it. When he kicked, I was like, loud kick. And one of us said, oh, great kick by Weidman. And he took his leg back and it just twisted. It literally just twisted and he fell down. That's the only time I've seen, because I never was able to watch it again. I could not look at it. It made me sick. I saw a video of Chad Ochocinco about to throw up, trying like when he saw it happen. Like it, the gasp in that arena, Ariel.
Horrible.
15,000 people went, everybody. And then immediately the medical staff and everybody just ran up. They knew it was bad. They started covering Chris. They got him in a boot. And it's a sad situation for anyone. But for a guy like Weidman, who had really put himself back in position to challenge because he had moved, he had gotten himself into shape, he'd gotten his mindset back to when he was champion, he had done everything to try to give himself a chance. For that to happen on kick number one,
17
terrible.
Seconds. Yeah.
Terrible. And so then the other part of it that makes it tough is knowing that it might be over for Chris, right? Like, does a guy his age come back from something like that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
he'll be back. Anderson came back.
I don't know, man. Like,
he's,
I don't
he's
know.
He's 36. I think he could be back.
Yeah, I know, but still, dude, like, when you do what Chris had to do to put himself back to where he was mentally, physically, the long road that's ahead of him with, and let me tell you something, Chris Weidman's a smart man. He can do whatever he wants in this world. If he wants to pivot and do something different, he will be successful at that too. I don't know if you motivate yourself back off of your back which is what he's going to have to do to get back to fighting at the absolute highest level. Long road, man. And for me, it felt like, man, I feel like that might be the last time I see Weidman in the octagon.
No.
And it made me feel sad.
I do not accept that. Chris Weidman has been through a lot. If you know a bit about his story, I mean, this guy was living in his parents' basement with his wife and their firstborn when he started his career.
And became the champion of the world.
Had no money. Hurricane Sandy wiped out his house right before he was about to fight Anderson Silva. I mean, his father-in-law was just hit by a car a couple months ago and tragically died. Listen to his song. What's Chris Weidman's song? I'm not going to sit here and let you say. And look, I'll be honest. You see, there are certain guys. I'm a human being. I'm a journalist. I call it down the middle, but I'm a human being. And there are guys in this sport that I've connected with and who I like very
Weidman's
much.
Weidman's one of them.
You are one of them. You know that. He is one of them. He's in the
same. Listen, I don't.
So I'm not going to sit here.
I don't want Weidman to be done.
He's not
I don't
be
want
done.
Him to be done. I just fear that. Your mindset, man, to get back from something like this after being at the mountaintop, after having to build back to get to a place where you feel you can go back to the mountaintop, is hard. He's still young. He has time. I'm just saying, like, that was a feeling I had inside my stomach whenever he was getting carted out of there.
Of course, it's a natural feeling. The prognosis is this. He had surgery Sunday morning. They say 8 weeks he won't be able to walk. It's going to be a while, you know, before he can drive and things like that. And 12 months or so, God willing, he'll be able to come back. But yes, it's a long road and it's tough. The crazy thing is it just like a weird thing? Like I saw Connor talk about it on Twitter and he said like, oh, there must have been like micro fractures.
A hairline fracture in there somewhere.
And then it just
somebody asked me that last night. Somebody texted me. They go, well, did he have a hairline fracture now? I was like, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
And that they just didn't know about. And then that makes it explode. Like, how does that happen? It's like a routine kick, right? Just a routine thing.
He kicked the front of Uriah's knee, looked like. God. And he kicked him hard, man. I don't know. I don't know what happened. And it actually makes me sick a little bit just even thinking about it. Because when we talk about it, it's hard not to envision what happened again. Especially right after what had happened to Jimmy Crute's leg.
Yes.
I mean, that was crazy. Like, it was like, I don't know what was going on. I don't know what happened. And I just hope Chris gets better, man. I hope he gets better.
He posted a video on his Instagram. He's clearly a little bit out of it. But, you know, we obviously wish him the best. And I listen to his song, right? Won't back down.
Yeah,
man will be back. I just want to say before I ask you about Jimmy Crute, you know, I give Uriah Hall a hard time for always being the angry guy. But he handled that situation very, very, very well.
He's different now, bro.
He is different.
He's different now. Like, he's Uriah Hall walking to the... A year ago, we went to a fighter meeting. Mm. Uriah Hall had an issue with something I said on the commentary. So he was almost refusing to speak to me. Got to Jacksonville. When his fight got canceled, we spoke. That was a year, essentially. Mm. Fast forward a year, Uriah Hall has been chosen to be the captain of Fortis MMA because of his work with his peers, with the way that he motivates, with the way that he trains, and his commitment. And he came into that fighter meeting the other day, and I just felt he's a different man. He's a much different guy, man. He's so much more comfortable with himself that I think he's had to navigate a lot. Because when you have knockouts like he did on The Ultimate Fighter and all that expectation is thrust upon your shoulders, sometimes you can lose yourself. And I think Uriah Hall has made it back to who he is at his core. And, you know, he's gotten so much better.
Yeah, there's bad blood there, but he handled it extremely well. And then the Jimmy Crute situation, you know, obviously what happened to him was funky, and we've now seen it a few times where, you know, the leg just gives out. But honestly, I feel like we missed the point of that fight. The story of that fight wasn't necessarily his leg. The story of that fight was Anthony Smith.
Oh, Anthony Smith looked good, didn't he?
A year ago, DC, we were all like praying for the fight to be stopped, begging for the fight against Glover Teixeira in the same building, in the same town. Then he comes back against Alexander Rakic and looks like a shell of his former self, like a guy who just had nothing left. And now he's won two in a row. And the jab was popping. Shout out to James Krause and that team. They're doing great things with him.
No.
Factory X.
Yes, Factory X too.
But wasn't James in the corner too?
Yeah, Krause and Factory X.
Mark Montoya.
Together. Yep. Mark Montoya, they're doing it together.
They are doing it together.
Glory Kickboxing, Krause's team. They've really built some momentum. Mm-hmm. But
Factory X is tremendous.
Anthony also trains a lot out in Colorado with Mark Montoya.
But he looked great, right? The jab, like he looked on point.
Well, his jab was swelling up the eye of Jimmy Crute before we got to the end of round one.
Right.
Anthony was moving, pop, pop, pop. I was like, ooh, look at Anthony Smith feeling himself. Because nothing motivates you more than being the guy that people think is the stepping stone to the next level. Because that's what he was. He was in that position for Jimmy Crute to either go to the top or get pushed back. And he took offense to that. And, you know, you said last year, we were like, stop the fight, losing to Rakic. It's like, oh, this dude's done. Dude's 32 years old, man.
Yeah.
Dude is 32 years old. He's got 50 like fights.
50 fights, yeah.
He's got 50 fights at 32 years old. So, dude, he's a fighter. He's got time. And when we talked to him last week, and he was just, he's aware of that. He goes, when I hear people talk about retirement, I'm like, I'm 32. I'm just getting started. And that version that we saw last weekend, dude's good. That jab looked nice, though. I was like, wow. He said, I'm just getting good. He goes, I'm actually just getting good at fighting.
Don't have a real update on Jimmy. I reached out to his team, but it's a long road back to Australia. But hopefully it'll be okay. You know, usually those things don't lead to much, yes, much damage. Go ahead.
Think about this, though. Henry Cejudo. Henry Cejudo had that happen to him.
And he won.
And beat Demetrius Johnson. Think about the steel trap that is Henry Cejudo's mind, right? He literally just thumped it onto the ground until it woke up. And he went on to beat Demetrius Johnson over 5 rounds. So for everything that people say about Henry, cringe, he's annoying. Henry Cejudo had that happen to him. Jimmy Crute, he thumped it on the ground to try to wake it up and beat Demetrius Johnson. That's why people need to respect 100%. Henry Cejudo and how good he is.
He's incredible.
Man, that's tough.
No, his resume speaks for itself. I mean, he's annoying as all hell, but he's as great as he is annoying.
Oh, he's the man, bro. Henry Cejudo is the man. His mind is like nothing I've ever seen.
You can't take that away from him. The card, it was fun. The crowd, like I said, elevated. Randy Brown with the great win, the one arm rear naked choke. Brendan Allen with a great win. Pat Sabatini with a great win. Ariane Carnelosi with a great win. Jeff Molina with a fun fight. I mean, the last minute of that fight was wild.
Crazy.
But now we have to address something. We have to address what happened on the prelims because my man DC made some headlines. And I got to tell you, everyone coming up to me, are you going to talk about it? Are you going to ask him? Of course, we're going to talk about it. So tell us what happened. You and Jake Paul caught on camera in front of the world, like in broad daylight in the arena. Give me the story. How do you end up from the broadcast table to face with the problem child, Jake Paul? What happened?
So there are a lot of things that I can handle in my life. One is not like I feel like this guy being like that, disrespectful, talking in a way that I don't feel he would do to my face. I can't deal with that. So I was sitting at the table and somebody said, oh, Jake Paul's here. So I look behind me and he's like making faces at me and waving at me. He's like waving at me and making faces. I'm like, what in the world is happening? Like, what is happening?
In the middle of the broadcast.
Well, yeah, that was like, I'm 24. I'm like, this 24-year-old kid is like, he's heckling me.
Right.
He's heckling me. He's like a troll, but like a famous troll. So finally I got a break and I was like, hey, do I have a couple minutes? They were like, no. I said, guys, I need a few minutes real quick. And they said, okay, you got 2 minutes right now. My producer said you got 2 minutes. So I just got up and I went over there.
You didn't tell them where you were going. You just said,
no,
I need two
I just
minutes.
Told them I needed a couple minutes. Okay. So I just went over there because again, like the whole time after he's doing that, I'm just in my mind, like, it's all I can think about is like, this guy's like being like so ridiculous. Like, I need to tell him something. So I just walk over there and he kind of leans in like we're going to have a conversation and his hands are in his pocket. And I said, hey, I'm not going to play your games. I go, don't mess with me. So I'm not a kid to play with like this. Like, I'm not going to be on the internet messing around and all this other stuff. I go, keep my name out of your mouth. And then his security came, and then he started to kind of, once the security and everybody got around, he started to play big boy a little bit, starts trying to point and do all that. But initially, he thought his hands are in his pocket, and he kind of leans in. And I said, I'm not going to play your game. I'm not going to fight. I said, you're going to get yourself hurt, like messing around. I'm not going to fight with you and play these public shenanigans. I go, keep my name out of your mouth. He said, well, you said my name first. And I'm like, don't play with me. I said, don't play with me. I'm not a kid to be messing with like that.
Were you ever close to slapping him?
Hitting? I wanted to grab his face. I was going to grab him by the face, but I would have gotten in trouble by the UFC.
Right.
Because listen, a kid like that, you like when you alpha a kid like that, when people start met you alpha, like I wanted to grab him by the face and smash him into the ground, but I can't do that at work. I would have gotten into a lot of trouble. So I just went over there and tried to have a conversation with the kid. And then, you know, the security comes and all that. And he's like, well, sign the contract. I'm like, come on. Sign the contract. What are you talking about? Sign the contract. What contract are you referring to?
This Paul Costa sign the
contract. What is that? Sign the contract. What are you talking about? Sign the contract. There is no contract. Like, I mean, I told you last week, you don't punch down to go do all that. But like, come on, dude. You can talk and act like that with certain people. Not everybody. Not everybody's going to do that. And start messing with like certain people, they're going to kind of tell you about what they're feeling.
So let me ask you bluntly. Do you want to fight Jake Paul?
I don't want to fight Jake Paul, but I'm not going to let Jake Paul disrespect me. But I'll tell you one thing. Let me tell you one thing about Jake Paul. And I'll refer back to the Conor McGregor deal, right? Conor went to fight Floyd, made a ton of money because he had to. Floyd Mayweather is the greatest boxer of all time. So you go and play on his playing field. Why would I go and box Jake Paul? Who I am doesn't make me chase anything. I made my money as the heavyweight champion of the world. I don't have to chase a payday. This kid wants to fight. Okay, I'll fight him. But it'll be a mixed martial arts competition. If he wants to actually fight with me, fight me in mixed martial arts, and then I'll fight him all the way down to 205. I'm living happy. I'm fat. I'm healthy. I'll go all the way down to 205 to fight this kid in mixed martial arts. If you really want to fight me, like seriously fight me. Fight me in mixed martial arts. And this is not going to be fun. I'm telling you right now, at 42 years old, bad back and everything, I'm going to torture him. And I'm going to hurt him. I don't want to box him. I don't want to fight in a limited skill set of rules. You want to fight me, and you really want to fight me, fight me in a mixed martial arts competition. I'll go all the way back to 205, and I'm going to smash him, and I'm going to hurt him. And then he can go back to fighting these YouTube kids. But don't think for a second that I would ever chase a payday in boxing, because I don't need it. I'm good. I made my money as the champion of the world. You want to really fight me? You got an issue with me? Fight me in mixed martial arts. And I'm going to torture you. And I'm going to rip his face apart. I'm going to hurt the kid. And I will teach these kids not to continue to do this with people like me, athletes.
This is insane. This is Ariel, absolutely.
I will hurt the kid.
Listen, I know when you're serious, and I could feel the seriousness from the screen. I just want to know, how did we go from not punching down last week to you actually saying you're going to drop him on his head?
I'm not going to drop him. I'm going to choke him.
Okay.
I'm going to elbow him. I'm going to hurt him. I will actually hurt him. Like, don't do that to me. Ariel, one time I was in college once. Let me just tell you the story real quick.
Okay.
I was in college, and I was in the student union, and one guy kept messing with me. They were talking about boxing. They were like, Daniel, you can't box. You got Charles Barkley arms. So in Louisiana, we call that feeling played. Like, man, I got played. I drove home the whole time thinking, wow, I cannot believe I let that happen. I turn around, drive back. See the guy by the student union. I said, hey, I've got Charles Barkley arms. I can't box. I can't fight. He's like laughing, right? Thinks it's a game. He's a basketball player from like Detroit, Michigan. I go, hey, let me see your basketball. He gives it to me. I said, you said I can't fight? He's like, yeah. I said, okay. So I take that ball and I smash him in the face as hard as I could with the basketball. I said, now fight me. I said, now fight me. He took off running. I said, now fight me. I said, show me I can't fight. I said, you want to disrespect me in that way? You show me now that I can't fight. I smashed him in the face with that fully inflated basketball. He didn't fight me. There are just certain things that I can't deal with. And you're right. I don't want to fight Jake Paul. But if he's going to continue to say my name and he's going to continue to do this, then he'd have to fight me in a mixed martial arts competition.
What has he said that has been...
Just he'll beat me up and all this other stuff. Like, listen, I'm doing my job here. This is what we do.
Right.
This is what we do. Ariel, I didn't even know who Jake Paul was until he fought some guy, Nate Robinson. And then you told me. I didn't even know who he was. What do I know about a kid? I didn't know who the kid was, bro. But I'm doing my job here. I talk about him. I talk about John Jones. I talk about Miocic. I talk about anybody that I've competed with. Anybody that's in the news of fighting, that's who I talk about. So for you to take offense and think that, okay, I just beat Ben Askren. Now I'm going to pick on this other guy, this older guy, you know, 42 years old. DC's out of shape, which I am. I'm going to go pick. No, you're not going to do that. My name will not be used as a springboard. I love my legacy, and I will protect my legacy. And if protecting my legacy means I got to smack this kid upside his head, that's what I have to do.
You know what's happened here, right? You know what's happened here, DC?
I've worked my way into a shoot.
You have worked your way into a shoot, for God's sakes. This is rule number one.
It doesn't matter.
Because this is a shoot,
oh,
brother.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You told me this.
Yes.
First off, I want to give you a public apology.
You don't have to publicly apologize.
I want to give you a public apology.
No one knows what you're apologizing for.
I'm going to tell them. I want to give you a public apology. So Saturday, when I'm dealing with the Jake Paul situation, my friend Ariel didn't text me. DC, don't. You're doing exactly what they want you to do. I said, Ariel, I am not you. I will never be disrespected. So I feel a little bad about that, because then it's almost like I'm saying you let people say your name in vain and not do anything about it. So my friend, I apologize. I don't want to make it seem like you are afraid because you don't go up to people like I do. But, you know, I just can't handle that.
Well, it's very nice of you. It's very nice of you to say that. I when I read that, I was like,
our first fight, because it felt like you got mad at me.
I was like, listen, I understood. Listen, there's 15,000 people there. Tensions are high. Emotions are high. You just went face to face. You had a moment. Now, all of a sudden, everyone's talking about it online. People are screaming F Jake Paul, all this stuff. So I get it. I was going to address it on Sunday. You addressed it first, because I'm like, listen, there's levels that, you know, I have to conduct myself like a professional. I'm a professional broadcaster. You could go out and do your thing because you're a fighter. Your leash is a little longer, but I want to know. And thank you for that. That's all right. You know, hey, you know, I'll go to hell and back for you now.
Yes, you do.
But
I would not expect you to fight for me. I would never ask you to like get physical for me.
Let me tell you something. If you fight him in an MMA fight, and I'm not in your corner, I will be offended. I just want the world to know that right now.
You know who came with me?
Who?
Dean Thomas.
He was there?
Right behind me. Dean goes, if that dude has a problem, I'm coming with you.
Hey,
Dean Thomas was right with me.
That's cool. I respect that.
I went right up to those dudes, him and all his bodyguards. His bodyguard said, don't point your hand in his face. I said, I'll point my hand in your face.
Who the hell's that? Who's that guy? I'll fight him on the card. I'll fight that guy on the card. Tyron fights Jay Leon Love or whatever his name is.
We'll put them all together. Like, I'll just rotate. Like, I'll fight one in the first prelim.
Oh, you do a tornado round.
I'll fight the second bodyguard at the end of the prelims, and I'll fight that kid in the main event. That's what you do.
By the way, when you go back to the desk, what happens? Does someone say, like, DC?
Rogan goes, what happened? Rogan ended up looking like, what? I said, Rogan, I don't play that. He goes, I know, brother. And he tapped me on the back. I was like, I'm not going to play these games, Joe. And he goes, I understand. And
did Dana say anything? Did Dana say anything?
No, I just, certain people you can talk to like that, certain people you can't.
I get it. It's crazy, man, to see, like, he has the whole sport freaking reeling.
But he actually is winning in this situation. Let's be
100%. F. Jake Paul, by the way, you guys talked about it on the broadcast. He's shown on the broadcast as, like, one of the celebrities. Brilliant move to go from him to Nick Diaz, by the way. That was absolutely brilliant.
Moves to cheers.
All right, so to recap this, because we do have to talk about Nick very quickly, you are making it clear you will fight this man in an MMA fight.
I'll be his ass in an MMA fight. I don't want to fight him. Ariel, listen, I don't want to fight anybody. I don't want to fight anybody. But if you're going to challenge my name, then yes, you can fight me in a mixed martial arts competition.
Well, guess what? Later on today, I'm actually scheduled to talk to Jake Paul, so I will get his response to what you just said.
Mixed martial arts competition, we can fight.
205, Daniel Cormier versus
Jake. I don't want to get down to 205, but I'll go all the way down because I want to be in good shape.
You will never be more popular. If that fight actually comes together, you will never be more popular.
Let's be honest. This ain't happening. It's not happening. There's no way. Like,
could you imagine if you do to him what you did to Josh Barnett?
No. I'm going to do it. Remember when I cut Anthony Johnson's eye right there when I slid it wide open? I just kind of like spread. And you remember how I was like taking a couple dudes, like elbow his face? Remember how I had Volkan in the crucifix and I was just bashing him? My coaches were like, elbow him. And I was like, you know what? The kid's done. You know, I don't want to elbow him. I'm just going to kind of soft, you know? This kid, I would like slice him up. I'm slicing him up with this one right here. See this? The tip of the elbow. I'm slicing him up. I'm destroying him. Ariel, I'm destroying him. Like, destroying him. Bloodied up face, body all beat up, choke him a little bit. Like, just push his face in the
this
ground.
This ain't TikTok. This ain't TikTok. Oh, old Jake seems to have bit off a little more than he could chew.
You messing around with you playing around in Lafayette, Louisiana at this point. I mean, you don't want to go play around in Lafayette, Louisiana with me. So,
golly,
gotta stop playing. He's gotta stop. Dude's gotta stop.
All right. Well, that is crazy.
This is the gauntlet. Shut up or fight me in a mixed martial arts competition.
All right.
Or next time. Next time, you better hope next time I'm not at work. You better hope next time you see me, I'm at work. Because if I'm not at work, then I will grab him by the face. I just couldn't do it in my role as a commentator.
Another person that you did grab, a nice transition there, was apparently Nick Diaz. Right? You grabbed him. You felt his power.
Oh, he grabbed me. He grabbed me. He hugged me. He said he missed me, which was
why?
A bit odd. I mean, we hadn't really seen each other for a long time, so maybe
that's why he missed you.
But no, Nate, I see Nick, and like, yo, what up, Nick? What up, baby? You know, but then we hugged each other, and I was like, wow, he's strong. Like, he's in phenomenal shape right now. He's in fantastic shape. The guy is.
He's legit. He's coming back. He's coming back.
I think he's coming back. I
met with Dana after. I was told the meeting went well. I don't know if any opponent stuff and all that. I think that's premature. Nick Diaz hasn't fought in 5.5 years. He's sitting in the front row. Wish he wasn't drinking the beer because everything I've heard, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't he tell you he was going to bed like super early on Friday?
He was going to bed early, bro. Friday night in bed, it was like 10 o'clock, 9:45. Dude was heading upstairs. It was good.
Nick Diaz.
Nick, being serious.
I thought Nick was coming back last year. The pandemic changed everything. But I think he is serious. I think he wants the sport to love him. I think he loves the sport again. And the Diaz brothers kind of come in waves. We got Nathan coming back. I think Nick, if you look at his Instagram, if that's any indication, is in phenomenal shape. By the way, Nick doesn't just show up to events like just to be a fan.
It's the purpose, right? He went with a purpose. He went to meet Dana. Mm. And I'm sure they got everything squared away to see what's going to happen.
Do you have a preference who he fights first? I'll throw one out there. Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler.
Robbie Lawler. Cowboy Cerrone, if he can beat Diego Sanchez.
Do we agree that like a Khamzat Chimaev is an absolute insane idea? Like, no, that's just
not
dumb.
Those guys. Listen.
No.
Robbie Lawler. If he beats Dia, Jorge Masvidal.
That's the one I was going to say. But that's Nathan's thing. That's Nathan's thing.
But even if it's Nick though, Jorge Masvidal, they don't like to do
like that's why Nathan never went after GSP when that was a possibility.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the thing between them.
I'm saying there's just like those types of guys for right now to see where he is in his career.
Masvidal would be perfect.
That would be perfect. It would be a massive fight. It would be one of those fights that you don't need a belt.
Right.
You don't even need a belt to main event.
Was
Nick in the last main event that didn't have a title fight, him and Anderson?
No, not the last. One of the first, not the last.
Oh, because, really? One of the first ones?
Well, because remember, McGregor and Diaz, both times.
Oh, yeah, no title fight. Yeah.
That was after.
Yeah,
January of 2015 was the last time he fought.
Wow.
He got the 5-year suspension. We all thought that was it. In the end, the suspension got reduced, and he still didn't fight within 5 years.
When we sat down in the cage.
A freaking legend of the game. And it's crazy that his brother has now become more like, I don't know if the fans of today, like how many of those fans remember that were in attendance on Saturday, remember Nick in his prime? I don't know. Cause it's been so long.
He was good, man. He had that pressure style, the Nate Diaz style that everybody loves. That was Nick's style. Mm. Nick created that style and was just him and Paul Daly in San Diego or Miami, wherever they fought that one time. Crazy first round fight.
Yeah.
Him beating up Mario Zaramskis in San Jose. No, that was Cyborg. Mm-hmm. Evangelist Cyborg in San Jose. Crazy. He did beat Mario Zaramskis too,
I think. Yeah, he did.
Like, all those
that
guys,
was in Miami.
Yeah, those fights. Like
Takanori Gomi with the Gogo Plata.
The way he would put it on those dudes, man. Nick Diaz was, he was a sight to behold.
So that was, I mean, so much happened. We are running out of time, unfortunately, but have to mention Israel Adesanya, Marvin Vettori 2 is official June 12th. They didn't give it to Rob Whitaker. I know everyone's very upset about that. They offered it to Rob first, but he has to quarantine now for 2 weeks after a 5-round fight, has to get better from the fight as well. He would essentially have like a month to prepare for this fight, if not a little less. And so Vittori's the guy who's crazy enough to take this fight. Shout out to him. He gets his title shot that he wanted. You know, Rob putting out there that, hey, maybe Izzy was campaigning for such a quick turnaround. to catch me off guard or knowing that I wouldn't be able to take the, I don't know. All I know is Rob's going to get the winner. And people were all up in arms and upset on his behalf. But for him not, I mean, like, he can't take that fight. You know,
no, he can't fight. He can't fight like that. Too soon. But listen, this is crazy because if Vettori manages to win, right? If Vettori manages to win this fight, throws it all up in arms, right? Because then you got the trilogy between those two. You got Whitaker in the wings. And I bet if Israel Adesanya isn't the champion at age five, I'm willing to bet you Kamaru Usman would consider fighting a Marvin Vettori.
Wow, we're already writing off Stylebender? Damn.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if he's able to win, I just know Usman won't fight Israel Adesanya. But I think a Marvin Vettori, if he can win the fight, that might be something that he would look at doing. Because at some point, we're going to start to get a little stale with the title defenses at 170. So let's see.
Yeah, we still have Wonderboy out there. There's Michael Chiesa doing his thing, Vicente Luque. I'm not worried about that. But, hey, Izzy deserves a lot of credit. Like Usman got credit for coming back so soon, especially after a loss. Vettori will get his shot. Of course, he fought him very close, split decision back in 2018. I respect Rob for saying I need a little more time, and hopefully come September, October, November, we'll get that fight. By the way, I do have to shout out Clay Collard. Clay Collard, this man is unbelievable. The darling of the top rank bubble with a huge win over Anthony Pettis and Anthony Pettis's PFL debut. PFL back this week with the debut of Rory McDonald. Clay Collard, if you're not watching this guy, a blue collar boxer.
He did good in boxing, and now he comes back to MMA and beats Anthony Pettis. Clay Collard is on fire.
Cassius Clay Collard. What a name. With the audacity to call himself Gadget.
What a name.
It's fun.
What a name.
It is
what
fun.
What a name.
Almost as fun as this show. Wow, what a show, DC. From Kamaru Dean to Rose to Valentina to DC laying down the challenge for Jake Paul. Man, I'm all giddy. I'm going to go run 10 miles outside just after that promo. I mean, that was a pipe bomb right there. What a promo from the former two-time champ.
I'm done playing, baby. I'm just done playing. I'm done playing these games.
Respect. All right.
Step up or shut up. It's over.
That's it? Can you imagine the pay-per-view buys for that fight? Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is insane. All right. We're out of time. Thank you very much, Modell. Thanks to the entire team. Thanks to DC, of course. Back next week, same time and place. Until then, we say peace. We're out of here.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.